points. Chris Dolme with a monumental effort here at Hisense Arena.
Leagues in the world outside the NBA. Hashtag see incredible. Hashtag see incredible.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the NBL News Podcast, episode 3 here. Round 2's been completed. Round 3 just started yesterday on Australia Day between the Bullets and the Kings. But the NBL gone viral again. I'm joined by Aiden.
Well on everyone. Hope everyone's staying safe.
Yep. So NBL's gone viral again, Aiden. Cam Oliver, that dunk.
Space Cam
with an absolutely crazy dunk there against was it Melbourne?
Sydney Kings.
And first week it was Connor Henry going viral with his absolute spray towards his team. And now second week the NBL's gone viral again with Cam Oliver dunk, number one on SportsCenter. So it just shows how good the NBL is going viral each round now. So I wonder what will happen this round, round 3.
Let's find out. It's back in Melbourne too.
Let's talk about the decals. I made a post about this during the week and a lot of players interacted with this. It was a major issue in the Adelaide New Zealand game. Put up a post with all these players tweeting out kind of their frustration towards the decals, how slippery they were, how much of a hazard they were to players. I mean, as I stated in the post, the NBL needs a solution before a major injury has got to occur. I mean, Thomas Abercrombie almost got injured. But lots of players interacted. Jerome Randall, Tony Crocker, Mitch Creek shared it on his story. Yeah. So it's good to see a lot of players interacting with their posts, try and get the NBL's attention. And I think, it kind of sounds stupid, but my post, I think it kind of led the way to I try to help the NBL understand this issue, try to get it out there more. And eventually they did talk to the Australian Basketball Players Association and they're getting something resolved there in Adelaide, I think, and maybe the rest of the season. But what would be a solution, Aiden, to fix these decals, these stickers, these horrible stickers on the court?
The court sweepers, totally. I can't back the court sweepers. They're doing a good job as a fellow court sweeper. I don't know.
Sweeper in the NBL, by the way.
Huh?
You're number one court sweeper in the NBL.
No. I don't even quote about myself, so I can't really give myself that title, but I don't know, because at local level, you don't see like an NBL one as much. Well, I personally haven't seen it at that level, but
I think it was just maybe the Adelaide game specifically, but yeah. It's been here and there, obviously we saw that LaMelo cross last year where he crossed up Taylor Braun twice. I think they were both on decals, so it's always been an issue, but I think my solution would be instead of, I think Tony Crocker said or some other players have said to put the sponsors on the sidelines or on the scoreboard. I think if they still want the sponsors on the court, maybe they put like what they do in the NBA now, they put it on TV, broadcast it through, or even... probably a stupid idea what I'm thinking of, but like just get lights on like above the stadium and put them down onto the court. I don't know. We need some solution and need to be safe for everyone because player safety is the number one thing in the NBL.
Well, the good thing is the NBL didn't wait till someone got hurt from it. So they're taking the right approach.
It took them about 20 falls and probably more in one game. And
yeah, but
Yeah, no. It's not, to react to it.
Exactly.
All right, now we move on to Thaddeus Young, current Chicago Bulls player, another current NBA player, now purchasing ownership in an NBL club, the Brisbane Bullets, for Thaddeus Young.
Teaming up with Kevin Martin.
So that's four current NBA players that currently have ownership in the NBL side. Victor Oladipo, John Wall, Dante Exum, and Thaddeus Young. So even like the most average players in Thaddeus Young are able to purchase ownership in the NBL, which is pretty cool to see.
Well, and he's got his attention to NBL as well, so it's also a good thing for us.
Yeah, hopefully some of these players actually be hands-on with what they do when they, you know, hopefully they come to Australia and New Zealand to you know, interact with fans, kind of like what Zach Randolph did last year
with the Phoenix. Day.
Yeah, you know, it's hopefully these players do this in a few years' time. Obviously not, you know, now, not but in a few COVID, years' but... time, when their careers finish up, hopefully they get it. They play a year down here. How cool would it be to see guys like Oladipo and John Wall in the league?
Geez, they would want to get paid.
Well, not when they're owners. You know, they can pay themselves. They're their owners.
Yeah, but still, you know what I mean? Like, they're still going to come up with a contract and everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, it would be really cool to see these players actually do something after their NBA careers. But just shows the level of NBA player interest in NBL and NBL clubs.
Imagine if LeBron James purchased a team, that's all I'm saying.
Well, we can go on about Kevin Durant. You know, he was definitely looking at being an owner of the Bullets before Kevin Martin was. But he wanted to be, as I said, he wanted to be hands on. He didn't want to, you know, be in America still playing the NBA. You know, he's got other things.
You know what? KD can go to Jack Jumpers, get them started.
He could. But he's also said before that he wouldn't mind playing his last year of basketball overseas. He said it before. He said he wants to play in Europe for Barcelona or something. But, yeah, well, imagine a last, you know, his last year he comes to the NBL, plays for the Jack Jumpers or something, becomes an owner. That magic KD in the NBL.
The amount of attention or scrutiny that he'll be on, geez Louise.
Yeah, well, I'm probably dreaming now, but, you know.
I think we're all dreaming now.
But, yeah, let's get into the games.
Yes, first game of round two was Adelaide 36ers against the South East Phoenix, 83-89. The Phoenix got up. No Josh Giddey due to his, don't want to say concussion or jaw, I don't remember. It was
concussion from that big hit.
Concussion, yep, from that dunk.
Yeah.
Well, in my opinion, Isaac Humphries looked really sharp. 20 points, 10 of 14 out of 14 field goal percentage, and got 8 rebounds with a plus minus of 29. That's a good thing off the bench because he didn't start that game from memory. Kiefer Sarks showed up for the Phoenix, 24 points, 8 over 19 field goal, and 8 assists. So he's doing his job as a point guard and then did that massive dunk, I think. Was it this game or the other game?
Yeah, it was this game.
He got against Humphries, which was really impressive to see.
5'11". He's 5'11".
He's got hops. That's all I know.
Humphries just, I think he can easily make the NBA next year. You know, if he keeps it up, if he averages at least over 7 or 8 rebounds per game, gets double digits in points. Yeah, if he stays consistent, stays healthy, he can easily be back in that. Be back in the NBA.
He could be in a boomer squad, to be honest with you, to the Olympics.
He could be. But when you got Jock Landale there,
Will Magne,
Fawn Maker,
Baines,
Janaan Bolden, you know, there's a lot of good centers. A lot of good Australian centers.
No, I rate him over Janaan Bolden right now. Janaan Bolden is like not playing anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Humphries. Maybe in a few years' time, Humphries can make an Olympic squad. More, but probably not this year if it goes ahead.
Well, when Baines retires, I reckon.
Yeah.
So then we've got Brisbane against the Hawks. Yeah, another win for Brian Gorgian's team. 3-0, 82-90. Vic Law did decent as an import. He showed him his colours in that game. 16 points, 6 out of 16 field goal.
Yeah, I was definitely considering him as an MVP candidate. The only thing that, you know, I could have chosen him. The only thing is that I don't think the Bullets will be a top four team But, you know, I definitely think if he keeps this up, he can win MVP. And Bullets, if Bullets make finals off the back of Vic Law, oh, definitely MVP candidate.
Speaking of Bullets, Nathan Sobey, again, showing up for the Bullets, 24 points, 50% field goal. Sobey just does what he does every game. He just needs support around him. In my opinion, that's how the Bullets are struggling. Tyler Harvey, 31 points, 11 out of 21 field goal percentage, 2 steals. The man can't be stopped.
Yeah, his floater game is literally insane.
He's just off. He can shoot off balance, anything. He's just, I don't know how he does it.
I think he'll probably lead the league in scoring this year. Yeah. I mean, 31 points. I don't think he's an MVP candidate player. I think the Hawks are well-rounded. He's just a very efficient scorer on the court. 6% from 3 this game, 52% field goal from 21 shots. Yeah. So he can definitely lead the league in scoring this year. And Brian Goorjian is, you know, he's the right man to coach the Boomers because Hawks are 3-0.
And let's talk about AJ Ogilvy. He was a late injury replacement for Dan Greeter. 14 points, 6 out of 9 field goal and 9 rebounds. So that's pretty good for a veteran. I think they've done the right thing signing him over David Anderson. As much as I love David Anderson, Ogilvy seems like he's been the better choice anyway.
Yeah, I hope he stays for the rest of the season because, you know, if Greeter comes back, they are not going to have a solid center other than Sam Frohling.
The Hawks are just all balanced, to be honest. They're really balanced from the depth and everything.
The whole bench, Isaac White, like they all play their role and they're just way better. Yeah, Isaac White was impressive.
Isaac White, the minute he played, I was all they were good. They were good minutes. He just played his role.
I want to talk about Tyrell Harrison as well for the Bullets. 8 points, yeah, 10 boards, and we'll talk about him in the second game as well. I mean, I think
Who needs Will Magne?
Who needs Will Magne when you got Tyrell Harrison? I mean, he's the tallest player in the league. Tallest player in the league at 7'1". I think he's 21 this year. He might already be 21. But I can definitely see him going to the NBA next year. All right, if he keeps...
He's just been starved of opportunity.
Yeah, we'll talk about him in the Sydney game where he had 11 and 11. He had a much better game. But
I think you've already talked about it there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more athletic than Will Magne. That may be a crazy comment, but he can run up the court faster than Magne. I mean, he doesn't put his body on the line for blocks as much as Magne. I mean, we've only seen a small sample of Harrison, so I can't comment too much about it. But
I personally would start him over Frohling, but
I think he's best center for the Bullets right now. You know, after seeing those Frohling's 2 games,
too inconsistent. He has good games, bad games, and it's.
Exactly. And Matt Hodgson, you know, when you got Tyrell Harrison, should be getting way more minutes.
Hodgson's injured. I forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, Hodgson is injury prone. You got to, got to realize that. But Tyrell Harrison's the NBA loves 7'1" guys that are young. I can definitely see him in the NBA contract if he stays consistent, and plays just as good as a season as Will Magne, because he's definitely more athletic. But we'll see what happens.
Now let's go Friday night basketball. LA 36ers against the New Zealand Breakers in overtime, 94-91. Dan Trist missed the game actually before the game started through a COVID breach. I don't think it was his fault, to be honest. I've been hearing it's not technically his fault. It's from other people that were around him, but he took the fault. As like Humphries again, he started this game, but 24 points, 11 and a 15 field goal. That is a great percentage. 11 rebounds.
Yeah.
And his partner in crime, DJ, 16 points, 11 and a 15 free throw, and then 2 from 11 field goal. But DJ went to the line. He was aggressive. He got to the line. He got that. And 7 rebounds.
Yeah, and don't forget to mention Humphries had 5 blocks as well.
And 5 blocks, yes. I didn't put that down, but...
Yeah, I mean, I was worried for, you know, I wasn't worried, I was unsure of how Humphries and DJ would work together, you know, two clear centers in the league and currently where the league's at, you know, most teams are going for smaller centers, you know, power forwards in the NBA that play center, Cam Oliver, Jarrell Martin, guys like that. But
Ben Moore,
exactly. But they're, you know, Humphries and Johnson, they've been the two best players for the 36ers the last few games, and they've really worked together. I mean, those two really helped them get that win against the Breakers. I mean, they're very solid front court. I mean, Johnson can stretch the floor. Humphries didn't get a three that game, but can shoot the three very occasionally, very rarely. But 24-11, he's, you know, I think if Summer League is back up and running next season, he'll definitely get a go in there. And
well, him and DJ could be in the NBA again. One of them could be both an all second NBA team at this kind of form. As a smoky, in my opinion. They're doing well.
Yeah, exactly. And Donald Sloan finally had a good game, 20 points. You know, all the 36ers need to do to be a winning team to make finals is Donald Sloan and Crockett to be getting double digits. You know, they don't have, you know, they need to have them scoring each game to be successful.
I'm not sold on Crockett yet, to be honest. Sloan, I've seen enough from him. Crockett has been like an injured veteran at this point around, you know. But I hope for, you know, for his sake, they don't have to rely on Giddy and Johnson and all those guys that often. But
I mean, the Breakers, you know, let's talk about the Breakers, shall we?
Oh, Lamar Patterson's back. 16 points, 6 out of 16 field goal, but 7 turnovers.
Yeah, he definitely started off sluggish, but it's Lamar Patterson. He does this every year. He will get into form.
Ty Webster, 34 points. Welcome back, Ty Webster. 14 out of 32 field goal, not the best, but he put up his shots.
Yeah, he shot up shots. I mean, you got to score 34 points when you've shot 31 times.
Well, yeah,
9 of 22 from two. But he shot the ball a lot. I mean, the game, the ball was in his hands every time in the clutch. So 34 points.
I think he's going to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's an insane stat line, but when you shoot up 31 shots in a game, you better hope you score over 30 points, you know?
Well, you hope you score at least 50%. That's my opinion. Colton Iverson, 10 minutes in play that game, 3 fouls, 1 point, and 1, which is a free throw. Did he start?
I didn't watch. No, he came off the bench.
Started Rob Lowe.
Yeah, Rob Lowe's definitely a better player. He didn't have as good as a game as in that one, but Rob Lowe from last season, he's definitely a better player.
Now for the viewers, who's the worst import now? I'm basing this on one game that I've seen from the Brokers. Colton Iverson or Keith Benson? That's all I'm saying. And this is just...
Already putting the Keith Benson.
Keith Benson had two good games.
It's one game for Iverson. I think he just needs to...
3,010 minutes, though, Evan. Come on, 3,010 minutes? How do you...
Yeah, well, it's his first game. It's just... This is every big man in the NBA. Well, they get foul trouble in their first game.
I'll give him the first game.
They got to adapt to the ordinary officiating in the NBA with the big men.
Jared Weeks off the bench was interesting. 21 minutes he played. 0 from 4 field goal. 2 rebounds and 2 assists.
Yeah, he's a solid... He's like a Sean Bruce type. You know, he comes in, plays his role, and if he needs to step up, he will step up. But I think first game for the Breakers, they just need to get the cobwebs out. Corey Webster returns tonight, and I think they'll get the win over the 36ers. They'll come back and get the
win. Okay, Kansas City. The first Saturday game and the only Saturday game that I've ever seen that's only one game. But the Cans got back up. They've won 99-91. They won, you know. I've got that right, yeah.
Yeah, Kings won by 8. Cam Oliver threw down the monster slam on Craig Muller, ended his career.
According to Wikipedia, but we don't talk about that.
That lost Taipans that game was Scott Machado getting fouled out in the fourth quarter. 5 fouls. I think it was midway through the fourth. And had he have stayed on, I reckon the Taipans could have won that game.
Well, it was 80-83 at that point. Sydney was up.
Because they're there 5 in the last couple of minutes of that game. I think it was Jared Kenney, Juric, Majok Deng, and Kuat Noi. Kenney does not score the ball. We know that. He's not a scorer.
Mazook Dieng just needs to stop shooting those contested threes. He just fades away, and I'm like, I get frustrated as a watcher.
Yeah, 0-4. I mean, they didn't shoot as a team. They didn't shoot very efficiently from three. But I just
Jarrell Martin.
They're still missing DJ Newball a lot, I think. That, you know, everyone talks about his defense ability and defense player of the year and et cetera, but people forget how good he was offensively. I think they're really missing him.
I feel scoring. Like if Machado was still on, Mojave King might have got a bit more minutes, to be honest.
I think Mojave King definitely deserves some minutes. He can play.
Well, they wouldn't want to put him with Kenny on because Kenny, like, he's experienced, but...
Yeah, I want to see...
Too similar.
King Jurich, King and Mirko Jurich, or King and Machado. I think King definitely King deserves Machado more would minutes.
Work. Machado, no, that's what I mean. Like, if Machado to get fouled out, I feel like Mojave might have got a few more minutes. But he had a good game that game. I don't remember the stat line, but he did well for my fantasy.
Yeah,
so 12
points, 4 boards, made 2 threes.
Space Cam, 27 points, 12 out of 22 field goal percentage, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. That is an impressive stat line.
Yeah.
He's just too consistent. It's just, he's back. Jarrell Martin actually had a great game as well for the Kings. 22 points, 11 from 21 field goal, 10 rebounds. He looked impressive. Yeah, I don't really like his beard. His beard makes me feel like he just can't be stuffed shaving it. It looks really weird on me. But
whatever. I haven't noticed anything about his beard.
It just sticks out, but I'm not going to...
Well,
worry about facial hair.
I think he's really adapted to this league. I think he's best.
He'll be back in the NBA, but at the end of the season, I'm telling you now, he will be back in the NBA after this.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can. He's definitely the best player on the Kings right now. I think he can make the second team or NBL second team. But he's got to keep. He's got to be getting double doubles each game for the Kings win games. I mean, he's very solid center. He's very capable of being. Second best center. Jock Landale's easily the best center in the league. But
well, he used to start in the NBA, so he, you know, he's got the potential.
Yeah, I think he can be just as good as Cam Oliver and Humphries. I think he's a couple of years ago for the Grizzlies, he played a whole season. He started for about 40-50% of those games. I mean, he's a solid player, Jarrell Martin.
Casper, he's back, I think. I don't know, 22 points, 7 out of 30 for goals, so about 50%. He's doing all right. He's getting there slowly. But Kansas City used the snag pit as one of their fortress. They've had 3 home games there. They've lost all of them. Brad Newley.
Yeah, they won one game. They beat the Kings the first game just.
Yeah.
But just, as yeah, I but said, they're missing Newball. Newley was really effective off the bench.
50% field goal, 17 points, 5 rebounds. That's what you need from your veteran that comes off the bench. Just needs to play his role, needs to control the tempo for the DJ Vasilovic and all those guys. Just remind him that it's not.
All right, Perth Phoenix.
Yes. Scoreline was 88-76. Could have been worse. Southeast just threw the game away. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was pretty well close the whole game until. They pretty much gave up in the last 2 minutes. The Phoenix, you know, Perth Wildcats, just Bruscon just unleashed 27 points, 7 assists. He's definitely going to win MVP again if they make finals. He's Bruscon.
Southeast, I'll give them this. The second quarter was better than the first. The second quarter they were more switched on defensively, boxing out, but. It's a little too late. John Mooney, 7 rebounds in the first quarter, 5 rebounds offensive. Ended up with 13 points, 15 rebounds.
Yeah, 15 rebounds is insane. I mean, you saw that offensive rebound he took, and he got the putback dunk from the 3-point line. I think he'll definitely. He led the league, led the NCAA in rebounding last season. I think he can lead. The NBL and rebounding this season as well.
Tom Jervis, first game back, he did all right. He was solid.
Yeah, first game in 2 years. Amount of action he did, for small amount of minutes he got. 8 minutes, he had 8 points, 5 boards, 2 assists.
Yeah, and 4 field goals. So he, you know, did all right. Keith Sykes and Yanni both struggled in that game. They've been playing well, both of them, but they both struggled against Perth, which is kind of expected because, you know, you've got John Mooney, which is so much bigger than Yanni. Yeah. You're Cotton keeper.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was really a standout for the Phoenix that game.
Gibbo was the only standout off the
Gibbo
bench.
Gibbo was good for the first quarter. He was all right for the rest, but...
they needed his punch.
Again, they didn't shoot well efficiently. I mean, look down at the three-point percentages. I mean, Glidden shot 2 of 8 from the three-point line. Sykes, 1 of 5. Adam also 1 of 5. I mean, the guys that green light to shoot the ball did not shoot the ball efficiently enough.
We'll see what goes on Friday, but I can see I do believe Phoenix can beat them. They just gave it away that game. They had Perth scored 26 points from 20 turnovers.
Yeah, and Ben Mao.
And about 13 second chance points. So who knows how many they were from those turnovers as well. So
yeah, I was going to say Ben Moore had 4 fouls. He only played 10 minutes because of his 4 fouls. I mean, he got in foul trouble early on in the game. So
Phoenix are just missing Dane Pinot. I can tell you that right now. They're definitely missing Dane Pinot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he fits in the lineup. But Kendall
Stevens. Talk
to me about Kendall Stevens.
Stevens. 1 minute, got lost on 2 defensive assignments. It ended up with 2 fouls in 1 minute. That is when you know you can't. Well, I shouldn't say this, but that's when you got to get better defensively, because if Simon Mitchell's not giving you minutes after that, he's lost trust in you. It's just, I don't think Kendall looked all right in the preseason games, to be honest. He looked like he could shoot the ball and it was fine, but there was no import in the games against the Bullets.
Yeah, well, okay. When he came on, he gave away a 4-point play, I think, to Cotton or someone. I can't remember, but I remember he came on, gave a 4-point play, then got dragged, didn't get a single second back on the court after that. So
yeah, Phoenix fans. I'm not a Phoenix fan. I'm an NBL fan, but I'm kind of a Phoenix fan, and you know. But anyway, who will average more minutes, Stan Trist in NBL 20 or Kendall Stevens in NBL 21? Evan?
My answer to that is
surely
Kendall
more.
Stevens still. I think, actually, I don't know. If Pinu comes back into the lineup, it'll be interesting to see what that rotation looks like. I mean,
yeah, but the thing is, the Southeast have a true big though. When Pinu comes back, does Southeast still have a true big? Because Pinu is an undersized big. You got Ben Moore and Yanni that are technically power forwards that play.
It's just going to be interesting how they run. Sam Mitchell runs that rotation. You know, who loses minutes, who, you know how it works out. You know, who doesn't get to play. Stevens might not get any minutes.
Well, what's his face? The guy, the Macarena guy that's saying Mike Carina.
Yeah. He's just an injury replacement, so I don't think he's.
Well, he's an injury replacement for Pino, but I feel like he would have played minutes when Moore got fouled, so then Simon would have to put Yanni on. But
yeah, they're really putting, you know, when Ben Moore gets foul trouble, they're really putting a lot of game time
pressure
on
Yanni.
Yeah, pressure on Yanni to perform. So
well, that's what they did last year with Keith Benson and Dan Pino. But
yeah,
I hope Ben Moore gets going. That's just what I'm saying.
And final game of that round.
Cairns versus Melbourne United, 85-87. I didn't get to watch this game, unfortunately, guys. So all I know was that Cam Oliver got 2 fouls in like 1 minute, but then ended up having 3 fouls. So he calmed himself down. 17 points, 5 out of 9 field goal percentage, 13 rebounds. Space Cam, he could be an MVP.
Yeah, there's a lot of players that could be MVP. Cam Oliver's definitely the best player on the
season prediction.
Yeah, we should do mid-season prediction. That's a good idea. But again, the bench for the Taipans just wasn't good enough for them to win against Melbourne. Majrock Dan came off the bench this game, only 2 points. Yeah. I mean, he did get 15 minutes, but only 2 points. Majave King, 0 points in 11 minutes. I mean, I've said he definitely needs more minutes, but not when he's scoring 0 points in 11 minutes. You know, Melbourne United, they just got so much depth, you know. It just shows, if you have great depth in your team, you can be a really unbeatable side. I mean, David Butler was a starter last year. He's now getting 12 minutes, and he had 0 points. He had little to no production, and still they won that game off the back of Chris Gordon and mainly Jock Landale, 19-7.
Jack White did his part, 12 points, 5-8 field goal, 6 rebounds. Scotty Hobson, he's still being quiet for the United and they're doing well.
Yeah, as I said, Scotty Hobson, I mean, some people were even thinking he could win MVP this year. I mean, he's definitely not the best player on Melbourne this season, and I don't think he will be by the end of the season. Jock Landale said they're going to be an undefeated team.
Still a bold statement, in my opinion.
Very bold statement. Still
agree with 85-87. That's bold to say after like this.
Yeah, but Landale, there's so many guys in the NBA that can easily be in the NBA next season.
Jack White could be in the NBA, but I don't know. But
I want to see it. I know it's early in the season to say this, but I want to see a summer league team in the next summer league in the NBA. I want to see an all NBL team or an all Australian team, probably not an all NBL team. So,
have an all NBL team that played against like China teams and stuff ages ago with Carl Adams, Jawai, and whatever.
Yeah, but like NBA summer league to be versing, they had China and Croatia in there, I'm pretty sure. So, it'd be cool if Australia and New Zealand were in there or an all NBL team. We can also talk about the round 3 game yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, how good is it that there's been no break in between rounds? I mean, you only got a couple of hours to change fantasy team, but Brisbane got away with the win.
90-87.
Yeah, I think the reason the Kings lost that game, I mean, they missed a lot of players. No Didi Lusardi got injured, half for the game. He's definitely injury prone. I mean, to see him injured again is devastating, but I think he's an injury prone guy. In early in his career, he's missed a lot of games last season. I think he missed the last two before this one. So he's definitely an injury prone guy, and I hope he's not out for long. Angus Glover was injured as well for last game. Hopefully he's all right. When he got injured against Cairns, I mean, 3 knee reconstructions already in his career. He's 22 and looks like he's hurt his knee again 4th time. So hopefully he's not out for long, but it's no good for a 22-year-old. And obviously Cooks is injured and Kickett's still out. So I think the injuries really lost in that game. Jarrell Martin, still best player on the Kings by far. 26 points, 11 boards. He's really carrying that team at the moment.
I just feel like that bench unit, like Tom Vodanovic, like I don't know. They're not the same team they were last season. I can definitely say that.
Yeah, definitely a new team to last season. They're definitely going to miss Cooks this season. Moller, 12 minutes, 0 points.
Hunter looked good in the first game that he played, but
I think they're just missing injuries this game. I think had they had Luzada, had they had Kickett, they would have easily won this game against the Bullets.
I'm impressed with Vic Law and Sobey again. Sobey with 26 points, Vic Law 27. They both Vic Law also got 9 rebounds, nearly got a double-double.
Yeah, Vic Law, insane stat line, 27 points, 9 boards.
Vic Law will also be back in the NBA. He'll be back at the
line. He's unbelievable. He also shot 73% from the field. He does it all. Do you think he's better than Lamar Patterson, Aiden?
Yeah, I reckon he is. I honestly reckon he is. He's doing it consistently right now. I know Patterson's going to play 1K, but I feel like Patterson, when I saw him play, he looked like he gained a lot of weight, not in a good way.
He could definitely be sluggish at times, Lamar Patterson, but I think Vic Law is a much better signing for them. I mean, I still would have been better if they had Lamar Patterson and Vic Law, but I think Vic Law is just as good as a signing as Lamar Patterson. I mean, he does more things out there. He gets a lot of more players involved. But
well, what's your thoughts on about Orlando Johnson? 22 minutes, 3 points, 4 rebounds.
Yeah, well, he has been injured to start off the season.
You're playing 22 minutes, so I feel like your confidence would be up there. But
yeah, and I think a lot of people are saying they're unsure because he has been injured in the past few years. It was an interesting signing to see at the start of the season. But will they replace him? Probably not for now. Give him a couple more weeks. Wait till the NBL Cup to see what happens, maybe. But 3 points in 21 minutes. He is coming off injury, but I don't think they just let him shoot the ball enough. I mean, he only shot it 3 times in 21 minutes. But you know, they still got the win. Nathan Sobey almost had a triple double, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. He's very capable of getting a triple double. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets one this year. Again, he had one last season.
Well, Sobey's just continuing his form from the QBL, which is dominating that.
I think he's a shooting guard. I think the Bullets should have signed an import point guard instead of Orlando Johnson. You know, imagine an import PG, Sobey, Drimmich, Vic Law and Frawling. That would have been a really good five, I reckon. I mean, had they signed a good scoring point guard, a John Robeson like
Jason Kidd.
I think a John Robeson like would really fit in that team. Do you reckon?
Yeah, they just need shooters.
I mean, they do have Kidd, but
we're not disrespecting Kidd because Kidd is a great player.
Kidd is one of the best shooters in the league. One of the best shooters the NBL seen in the past few years. But I want to start him. But if they had another import instead of Orlando Johnson, a more scoring guard, I think.
Yeah, get Isaiah Thomas come down.
Isaiah Thomas. But I want to talk about Tyrell Houston again. 11 points, 11 rebounds. You're talking
about Tyrell.
I think if he has another good game next game, if he has another consistent performance off the bench and Frawling doesn't play as good as him, he should definitely start at center. I mean, not many 7'1" guys are as quick and athletic as Tyrell Harrison.
He's and a bit lanky as well, but not like he's not lanky, but he's not like solid, but like Frawling solid. But that's a good thing. He can move up and down, which is what you need as a big man.
He's a very mobile big to be at 7'1". You know, I think the NBA will definitely look into this guy and it'll be
bringing back Taco for Daniel.
I mean, it would be very good to see another Kiwi in the NBA.
He's Kiwi. I thought it was a show.
Yeah, he's Kiwi. Not many people probably would know that, but I think he'll definitely be in the Tall Blacks team for the next few years. I mean, he's definitely stepping up in Magne's role last season, and I think give him a couple more games, and he could be just.
He was just starved of opportunity last season. That's the only issue he had. He probably didn't get.
Yeah, I think it's just a recurring theme. Last year, Magne. This year is going to be Harrison to the NBA. I think next year will be Callum Dalton or Blake Jones. You know, they're just really good at developing bigs over there. Following. Yeah, no, but I just think they're really good from developing bigs over there in Brisbane.
Well, Lamar's is just a developing coach. He just develops players into
doesn't help them win games, but he really develops big men.
Well, it could be, you know, his last season at Brisbane.
Yeah, so
let's talk about fantasy.
Yeah, they're all the games from round 2 and round 3.
The start of round 3, yep.
So we did our fantasy changes, obviously, before round 3. I did 2 trades. I traded Machado. I know he's like, why would you trade Machado? He costs a lot, and I have Kiefer Sykes already, so I already had a decent point guard. So I got rid of Machado. And I got rid of Sloan for Bryce Cotton and John Mooney. So I'm really happy with those two choices. Hopefully they perform good this week.
And what did you score in round 2?
What was it? 642.
So you lied to me.
659.
Oh, yeah. 659. Yeah, not bad. What's your overall rank?
Overall rank right now, after the first game, round 3, it's 459.
And after round 2, what's your overall rank? Put in the thing.
Yeah, overall rank after round 2, so before round 3 was it 430?
430, I think. Yep.
Just average, I mean.
Early days.
I'm just – I have to start King this week. I just hope he somehow has the best 2 games of his career because then I'll probably win this week because not many people have Majale King, but – I had to start him. He's dropped a lot of money, 0.66 now. So, but hopefully that trend next week. So what about your team?
I scored 621 last week in round two.
Yeah.
594 overall rank with a total score of 1,026. I think we're only like 40 points between each other. So the title for NBL fantasy is really like, it just matters who you put captain, to be honest, or who you have. My trades were Cotton and Mooney in as well for Jessup and Machado. And my starting six are, what do you call it? Kiefer Sykes, Cotton, Courtney, Mooney, Oliver, and I think I've got Yanni on the bench. Oh, on the sixth man.
Yeah, I have a very similar team. I have Mojave King instead of Courtney, but I also have Harry Frawling. I think I've made a mistake. That first game from Frawling didn't get me much points. I put Yanni on the bench because Harry Frawling's been averaging about 40-something fantasy points, and he's only been playing one game, while Yanni's been averaging 48, and he's been playing two games a week. So I thought, let's start Frawling. Maybe a bad choice, but yeah. That's it for episode 3 of the NBL News Podcast. Got any questions, or if you guys want to have a player on board the podcast and
we'll try ask a
couple of questions too. You know, DM us on Instagram, Twitter, you know the handle at NBL News. So, yeah, thank you guys for listening, and hope to catch you guys next time.